ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter number 13, The Descendants of Dhruva Maharaj, Text number 35. Iti vyavasita vipras tasya rajna prajataye purodasham niravapan Shipi Vishtaya Vishnave Iti Vivasita Vipras Tasya Rajna Prajataye Purodasham Niravapan Shipi Vishtaya Vishnave Iti Vivasita Vipras Tasya Rajna Prajataye Purodasham Niravapan Shipi Vishtaya Vishnave Word for word translation Iti Thus Vyavasitaha Having decided Vipraha the Brahmanas, Tasya, his, Rajnaha, of the king, Prajataye, for the purpose of getting a son, Purodasham, the paraphernalia of sacrifice, Niravapan, offered, Shipi Vishtaya to the Lord who is situated in the sacrificial fire. Vishnave to Lord Vishnu. Translation. Thus, for the sake of a son for King Anga, they decided to offer oblations to Lord Vishnu, who is situated in the hearts of all living entities. Purport. According to sacrificial rituals, animals are sometimes sacrificed in the yajna arena. Such animals are sacrificed not to kill them, but to give them new life. Such action was an experiment to observe whether the Vedic mantras were being properly pronounced. Sometimes small animals are killed in a medical laboratory to investigate therapeutic effects. In a medical clinic, the animals are not revived, but in the yajna arena, When animals were sacrificed, they were again given life by the potency of the Vedic mantras. The word Shipi Vishtaya appears in this verse. Shipi means the flames of the sacrifice. In the sacrificial fire, if the oblations are offered into the flames, then Lord Vishnu is situated there in the form of the flames. Therefore, Lord Vishnu is known as Shipi Vishta. Translation again, thus for the sake of a son for King Anga, they decided to offer oblations to Lord Vishnu, who is situated in the hearts of all living entities. Om Gyana Timiranda Seya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumandamina Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here the Brahmanas have decided to offer oblations into the sacrificial fire so King Anga can have a son. So the motive of performing the yajna here is so that King Anga is able to have a son. So just to give you a bit of context of this verse, so in the previous chapter, on previous chapters, we heard about the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj and how Dhruva Maharaj he ascended to the spiritual kingdom. After he had retired from kingly life. So Dhruva Maharaj had, his eldest son's name was Utkala. Now Utkala, he decided not to become a king. And the reason for that was because he was very detached and spiritually advanced. So he decided not to take up the kingly affairs. And this came as a great shock to people in general, his ministers and his family members. They thought he was mad, because generally people are attracted to such positions. And so it came as a shock that Utkala did not desire to be the king. So then, consequently, his younger brother was offered the throne. So his younger brother's name was Vatsara, and his wife's name was Swavarvithi. So Vatsara, he ruled the kingdom, and he produced children. And then this chapter describes the lineage of Vatsara, leading up to King Anga. So King Anga had various sons, and there were various sons. One of them was King Anga, and then King Anga, he desired to have a son, right? And he was performing an Ashwamedha Yajna. So King Anga was performing an Ashwamedha Yajna. So Ashwamedha Yajna is, does anyone know what Ashwamedha Yajna is? It's a horse sacrifice. In an Ashwamedha Yajna, sorry, he went before. In an Ashwamedha Yajna, horses are sacrificed. So here also in this verse, Srila Prabhupada, in the commentary, he's describing that, it's talking about animal sacrifice, which we will come to very shortly. So King Anga was performing an Ashwamedha Yajna. He had invited very expert brahmanas. He had commissioned expert brahmanas to carry out the yajna. So everything was being done. But however, the demigods did not arrive. So the idea was the demigods demigods would preside in the yajna, and they would accept their share of the yajna. So none of this happened because they were not there. They were not there, so consequently they did not accept their share. So this came as a surprise, and then King Anga wanted to find out, is everything being done properly? So they checked, and everything was done properly. The brahmanas were expert, they were pure, they were carrying out the rituals as they were meant to, they were chanting the mantras properly. So the brahmana said, informed King Anga that everything is being carried out correctly. The reason they felt that the demigods did not arrive was because King Anga had performed some sinful activities in his previous life. They told him that in this life he did not perform any sinful activity, and he did not even have any offensive thought in his mind. But however, in his past lives he had done some sinful activities, and the result of that was the demigods decided not to to preside in the yajna. And also, as a result of those sinful activities, he did not have a son. So then, King Anga, the brahmanas, they informed King Anga to perform a sacrifice for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu, and he should pray to the Lord for a son, and then carry out a sacrifice for that purpose. So now that's what is occurring in this verse. Today's verse is they are performing a yajna so Maharaj Anga can have a son. And then in this chapter, later we will hear in the coming verses that when the oblations are offered in the sacred fire, after the first oblation is offered, a personality appears from the sacrificial fire, and he's carrying a pot, and that pot has boiled rice, rice boiled in milk. And then that rice is distributed to all the demigods, and especially that rice is given to King Anga's wife, and she has her share of the rice, and she's able to conceive. It's quite miraculous. She's able to conceive, and then the result of that is King Vena is born. So we know Vena is a very Vena turned out to be a very cruel person. In fact, he was the opposite of his father. So King Anga was very gentle, had a very high character, very saintly by nature, and he loved Brahminical culture. So Vena was the exact opposite of all that, of all these four qualities of Maharaj Anga. So, and Vena was so cruel and merciless that he would torture animals unnecessarily. When he would go out in the forest for hunting, he would go in the forest, he would kill animals very mercilessly. And in fact, when he was playing with children of his age, he would kill them. Can you imagine? You know, kids are playing and then one decides to kill the others. And not only kill, but kill in a very merciless way. So as a result of all this, Maharaj Anga was very distressed. Naturally, as a father, you would be distressed if your son is performing such activities. And on top of that, he was a king. You can imagine how his reputation was being spoiled. And he was a very saintly king, and he did not like this. He tried to correct his son in various ways, but that didn't happen. And as we know, as the pastime goes, Maharaj Anga took this to be a blessing, and he retired. One day he decided to retire. Because he thought, it's better to have no son rather than a bad son. Because a bad son not only spoils reputation, and it's just better to have no son. And then he contemplated further, and he thought, actually, this is Krishna's mercy that I have a bad son, because this will lead me to become detached. And indeed, that's what happened. Maharaj Anga became very detached, and one fine day, very quietly, he left the kingdom, and nobody could find him. So King Vena was enthroned, and then he was thrown out of his position by the Brahmanas. They killed him because he was not in favor of Brahminical culture. So that's the pastime. And we even see Srila Prabhupada talking about this point of detachment. Srila Prabhupada, when he was getting married, it's mentioned in his autobiography that he didn't like his wife very much. And he told that to his father. He took it in that way, right? And when Srila Prabhupada, he took sannyas later. And in Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, we also know his wife was not very favorable to his spiritual practices, the spreading of Krishna consciousness. That she didn't assist him. I won't say favorable, but she didn't assist him very much. So there's a parallel over here as well. So here, in this verse, it's mentioned about Srila Prabhupada. In the purport, he talks about sacrificial rituals. Animals are sometimes sacrificed in the yajna arena. So we see even in the fourth canto, the pastime of the Sati. So how Sati, she went to her father's home against the will of Lord Shiva. When she went to her father's home, the yajna was going on, right? There was a sacrificial performance taking place. A yajna was taking place. She went to that arena. And when she went to that arena, she saw that there were many sages, brahmanas, and demigods over there. They were having conversations. Some were arguing with each other over the philosophy. And in this way, there was a lot of transcendental vibration taking place. And then she noticed all the paraphernalia of the yajna, various pots, some made out of mud, some out of gold, different metals were there. And she also noticed there were many animals there in the sacrificial arena. It's plural, animals, it says. There were various animals in the sacrificial arena. And these animals were there to be sacrificed. So, and in the days of yore, when yajnas were performed, animals were sacrificed in those yajnas. So they were not sacrificed so people can eat them. That was not the intention. That was not the intent, to sacrifice the animals so they can be eaten by those participating in the yajna. The intent was to sacrifice the animals so the brahmanas can test the mantra. So there was this system where I don't know all the details, but the brahmanas probably had to prove themselves, and they would chant these mantras, and they would test the power of the mantras. If the mantras were being chanted properly, so they would do that by sacrificing the animals. And that's how they would test the mantras. So if the mantras were being chanted properly, then the animal would get a new life. And old animals were sacrificed. It's not that young animals were sacrificed. It's mentioned various places that old animals were brought to the sacrifice. So like, for example, in Ashwamedha Yajna, old horses would be brought. And sometimes even cows were brought. Gomedha Yajna. So where cows would be brought, and they would be, old cows would be brought, they would be sacrificed. Now, usually, cows are, we worship the cows, right? So, like we had Gopuja, and the cows were worshipped. So it might seem very contrary here that the cows are being killed. So old cows were brought, and the brahmanas would sacrifice, would get a new life, and they would get a new body, a young body. This is just amazing. This was the power of the brahmanas. So in today's day and age, that is not possible. The brahmanas do not have that potency. In fact, brahmanas cannot even light a fire by mantra. What to speak of bringing a new life, giving a new body. So times have degraded so much, the Brahminical potency has reduced so much with the progress of the age of Kali that it is not possible. So Sati went to the sacrificial arena, and she also saw that animals were being sacrificed. And in fact, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Adi Lila, chapter 17, text number 164, there is a quote from the Brahma Vaivarta Purana 185.180. There it is said, Ashwamedham Kavalambam Sanyasam Pala Aikritam, sacrifice, or in other words, animal sacrifice. 3. Acceptance of the order of a man's begetting children in his brother's wife. So these 5 acts are forbidden. So 2 of them, the brahmanas are not qualified to perform such activities. But also, we see that people were performing. The purpose of the Vedas is to know Krishna, is to understand Krishna, which promise various things like good birth, elevation to the heavenly planets, etc. And therefore they perform yagyas. That's why they perform all these yagyas. But all these things are not necessary. One can render service to Krishna directly. And in fact, that is the highest yagya, Srila Prabhupada also says. The best and the highest yagya is to render devotional service to the Supreme Lord directly. And by doing that, one is able to fulfill the purpose of all the other yagyas. And it's interesting, Lord Buddha, he appeared to stop animal sacrifices. Right? So, Lord Buddha, he appeared approximately 2600 years ago. And at that point of time, animal sacrifices were very prevalent. They were very prominent. So people were addicted to meat eating. And in the name of in the name of the Vedas, they were basically performing slaughter. So, and Lord Buddha, he appeared to stop that. And this is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the third chapter of the first canto. This prophecy is there that Lord Buddha will appear to delude the people. So, animal sacrifices were very prominent, and people had lost the focus. The whole idea was, as is mentioned here, to test the power of the mantra. That's why the animals were offered in sacrifice. So people were just justifying meat eating by quoting the Vedas. That's what was happening. Generally, if someone wants, people want to do something, or then sometimes they will quote something to justify their actions. Right? Sometimes people do like that. They will quote some statement in order to justify their activity to do something. And sometimes, even in ISKCON, we see that so many the devotees will quote Prabhupada. Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that, to justify their actions, whatever they are. But Prabhupada said so many other things as well. We have to take things within context. So, during Lord Buddha's time, people were performing, they wanted to eat meat, so they were justifying their meat eating by saying that one can sacrifice the animals. So, animal sacrifice was very prominent, was very prevalent back then because they wanted to eat meat. And the sacrificial arena more or less became a slaughterhouse. So that became a slaughterhouse, and animal killing was very prevalent. And Lord Buddha, he appeared in order to stop that. So, Pashugna, so the killers of animals, Srila Prabhupada also in the introduction to the Krishna book, he explains there are two types of killers of animals. So one, the killer of the soul is also called the killer of the animal. Sometimes the soul is referred to as the animal. And then also those who eat meat or those who kill the animals. So for these two classes of people, it is very difficult to appreciate Krishna Katha. For these two categories of people, they cannot relish talks about Krishna. So in order to get them to come to Krishna consciousness, Lord Buddha, he tricked people. He tricked them. He tricked the killers of the animals. So basically what he said was, I reject the Vedas. So that's why Lord Buddha's philosophy is atheistic, because it rejects the Vedas, and it rejects, even there's no mention of the soul. Right? In Buddhism, they don't accept the soul. And they don't believe in God. So there's rejection of the Vedas. But however, Lord Buddha tricked them into following them. And Lord Buddha himself is the Supreme Lord. So indirectly, they were following the Supreme Lord, and they got the benefit. So we can see how Krishna also is very clever. According to the time, place and circumstance, he's able to get people to follow Krishna consciousness. So when we present something, then it is very important. It is very important to take into account the context or the environment, right? So when something is presented, then it is very important to understand the environment in which we are presenting something, right? Without taking the environment into account, our presentation will be a failure. So for those of you who work on projects, you know that the first thing which is done is one of the first things which is done in a project is to find out who the stakeholders are, right? And then there's a full stakeholder analysis done in which all the stakeholders are mapped and they find out what are their interests, what is their power, what is the influence, and how to, and they come up with a plan how to collaborate with them. It's not just, you know, there's various stakeholders and then we will just put out information in any way to them based on their authority level, their influence, their interest in the program or project. Then a plan is made how to collaborate with them, how to communicate to them. So even Lord Buddha in his presentation, he just didn't present Krishna consciousness directly. He understood the context. He understood where people were. So to gradually bring them to Krishna consciousness, he got them to basically follow moral principles. And Srila Prabhupada, he mentions in one of the in the purport to 1.3.24 that meat eating has a direct connection with spiritual realization. Srila Prabhupada mentions that in the purport, that meat eating has a direct connection to spiritual realization. If people are eating meat, then they cannot appreciate Krishna consciousness or talks about Krishna. They cannot appreciate, it is very difficult to become God conscious. So that's a good thing what Lord Buddha did. He brought them closer to Krishna consciousness by getting them to stop eating meat. And in the process, he had to reject the Vedas because at that point of time, people were quoting the Vedic Shastras to eat meat. So he had to reject it in order to get them to stop eating. And also, because they were following Lord Buddha, they were coming closer to Krishna. Because Lord Buddha is an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. So they are directly following him. But of course, today we know some Buddhists don't even follow the basic things, which is some Buddhist leaders are even eating meat. They're not following the basic tenet of Buddhism, which is to give up meat eating, right? To practice non-violence. So in one sense, all the vegans and different groups who are out there promoting vegetarianism or trying to stop the slaughter of animals in various ways, sometimes even by protest, by going to the abattoirs, they're actually doing us a favor. They're doing a favor because people who don't eat meat, they are much more favorable to Krishna consciousness. So I've experienced that myself in preaching, when I was preaching, that people who are vegetarian, usually it's easier for them to take up to Krishna consciousness, and they're much more favorable. So all these groups, they're doing a favor. It's only that we have to present Krishna consciousness in such a way that they're able to take it. So that's where the challenge is. So yes, we are living in times, and in today's day and age, more and more people are becoming conscious of more and more people are becoming conscious of not eating meat. And I can see that even in my workplace, that people, they really appreciate that if you don't eat meat. They don't see that in a negative light. They take it and they see that in a positive way. But this person is living a very clean life, they say, because he's not eating. They know it's not good for you. At least they know that. So people are becoming more and more aware, which is great. So as I was saying, the challenge is in how we present Krishna consciousness. So the delivery of Krishna consciousness is very important. If it is, we cannot present Krishna consciousness in the same way to everybody, right? So if we try to present Krishna consciousness in the same way to all the various audiences, it's not going to work. And if we present Krishna consciousness how it was presented in the 70s, that won't work either, because we have to tailor our presentation according to where people are. Recently, I went to one market research. So this market research was on butter, and it was this brand called Western Star. I think the temple also buys a lot of butter from Western Star. We get crates and crates of butter. So this brand, they wanted to know. They showed us. They didn't tell us first who's sponsoring this market research. So they just showed us various brands of butter and they asked us, what do you think of these brands? So they took out from their bag, they showed us all the various brands. Some of these brands even I haven't heard of. What do you think of this brand? What do you think of the presentation of this presentation? What do you think of their marketing? Then they showed us some ads of various brands, including their own. They didn't tell us. And then they tried to find out our opinion. So there were maybe 7 or 8 of us in our rooms, and they did 4 or 5 of such sessions. And they paid all of us, you know, some money for that. And this session went on for 3 hours. Can you believe it? 3 hours. So for 3 hours, they wanted to know about what we thought about butter. What we thought about the taste, or the texture, the presentation of the packaging, the ads, the tagline, so many things, the story of the brand. So for 3 hours they just grilled us. And the reason they did all of this, because they wanted to know what people are thinking. So they took a subset of people from the population, and from this subset of people they wanted to basically infer what everyone else is thinking, so they can tailor their product. So all these multinational, these companies are doing that so they understand their people, so they can sell their product effectively. So Krishna consciousness also, in presenting Krishna consciousness, it requires intelligence. It's not that it can be presented in the same way to everyone. It's not going to work. And Srila Prabhupada is the most expert at that. Srila Prabhupada, he presented Krishna consciousness according to the time, place and circumstance. So in the 70s, people had a certain mentality. They were attracted to Eastern philosophy, and he took advantage of that and he presented it in a certain way. And of course, it is his great purity as well. It is not only simply the presentation, but purity is also required. And it was very successful. So just to sum up today's presentation. So earlier I described the context of this verse, how this situation came about, how Maharaj Anga, he desired to have a son, and he was performing an Ashwamedha Yajna, and then he was advised by the Brahmanas to perform a sacrifice to achieve a son, and a result of that, this current sacrifice is being performed. And we also discussed how in the Vedas there is mention of animal sacrifices, and how those animal sacrifices are there to test the power of the mantras. However, in the age of Kali, the prime means of advancement is the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. The Sankirtan Yajna is the prime means of advancement, which is propagated by Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya, he mentions Yagya Sankirtana Prayer Ijanti Hi Sumedasa. By chanting Hare Krishna, one can get the benefit of all the yagyas. And then we also discussed that Krishna consciousness will be taken up when we present it in a way which taking into account the time, place and circumstance, and how Lord Buddha, he appeared to discourage animal killing and to get people to become more favorable to Krishna consciousness. Are there any comments or questions? Yes, that's another one.
Thank you for such a nice class.
Hare Krishna.
Siddhi Vishtaya, the Lord is situated in the sacrificial fire, is the translation of the word that we went through. And then the purport it jumps to situated in the hearts of the living entities. And just trying to relate to your discussion of how we need to address people appropriately when we're trying to awaken their Krishna consciousness. In my small experience of trying to preach in the street, I began to wonder how much I have to pray to Krishna for the soul to turn to him in their heart for it to be effective. So how to tailor the presentation so that they will turn to me, so that they will turn to Krishna in the heart. Can you have any comment on this kind of experience? How much do we need to depend on when we're trying to tailor Krishna consciousness to people? How much do we have to depend on Krishna himself?
Yeah, so we have to actually fully depend on Krishna. In order to bring someone closer to Krishna, that requires bhakti. So that's the primary qualification. The primary qualification is to have bhakti in order to bring people closer to Krishna consciousness and to pray to Krishna as well, to be dependent on Krishna, as you said. Srila Prabhupada, he was always depending on Krishna. Srila Prabhupada never took credit for his actions. And yes, so it is a combination of being sincere, depending on Krishna. We need Krishna's mercy for this. Without Krishna's mercy, it is not possible to preach Krishna consciousness, right? Because it is not on our own endeavor. Ultimately, it is Krishna who is doing all the work. We are not doing the work. We are simply the instruments who are presenting Krishna consciousness. But the transformation of the heart, that is being carried out by Krishna, by Lord Chaitanya, by the Supreme Lord. However, we still have to think how to present in an intelligent way. Simply performing book distribution, sankirtan, prasadam distribution, that will not make devotees. It will make a lot of people favorable to Krishna consciousness. These activities make people very favorable and makes it easier for them to come to Krishna consciousness. So I was talking to one devotee a few days ago, and this devotee was saying that if we do these three things, then we will make a lot of devotees, which is true. But however, that's not simply enough. We need to also think how we do these things and what support mechanisms are there in place to bring people to Krishna consciousness. So there's one temple in America, they do a lot of book distribution, but that hasn't translated to a lot of devotees. So there needs to be support mechanisms, places, centers which can cultivate people as well. So So book distribution is like, if you compare it to any business, that's like sales. That's like you're doing direct sales, but then there is all these support activities in the background. You know, there's account managers and people who are doing all the work of closing that sale and providing that service. And then mercy of Krishna, it is not possible. And so then Krishna does everything. Any other question? Or comment? Yes, Philip. How I would present?
Yeah,
I'm not an expert. Maybe we have to get best practices from the experts. We have to look at the experts who are doing it and get the best practices from them. But in principle, and look, I'm not even doing it at the moment, so I'm not in a position to comment, you know, how it is done. So we have to talk to people who are doing it where people are cared for. And the food which is given has to be, which is tailored to their needs. The delivery, the presentation, the kirtan has to be tailored according to their context. That's the principle. And one needs to understand there also needs to be like that. So everything, basically. Yes, Prabhu.
You told your Chinese when Prabhupada was in West that atmosphere was not conducive what you planned. West was coming towards East. And what is your opinion in the present time?
Yes. Yeah, in the present, people are not so much interested in Indian culture, to be frank. Most Westerners are not interested in that. There's so many other cultures in the world also. And people are not necessarily interested in Indian food so much, from my experience, personal experience. So at the present moment, people are not into religion. They're not into religious institutions, the church. And the people were, you know, into Christianity. So people are not into that. In today's day and age, it's all about sense gratification. And then for people, it's actually much harder to and come to Krishna consciousness. And also because a lot of people are experimenting with so many things from a young age, experimenting with alcohol, make it more challenging to come to Krishna consciousness. So a lot of these things have to be dealt with first. And the presentation has to be more, I guess, it's the expertise of the preacher also, how Krishna consciousness can be presented, that the whole philosophy can be presented in such a way that they are able to relate to it. And that requires some expertise of the preacher. And back then, people are not interested in Indian culture necessarily. So we have to present according to where people are. And just to... So we can look at centers where this is happening successfully. We can look at diluted. This is just presented in a different way. Is to understand Krishna, is to connect with Krishna. So that's not happening much. So that's what spiritual awakening is. But there is some transformation happening, and we can take advantage of that. Yes.
Prabhupada's words are very strong. Like we can see from the videos when Prabhupada did his preaching on the 70s. So can we take the Prabhupada's words as belief and preach to the present circumstances? Because his words are very powerful. But changing, we may can change our language, but not change our words. Can we do that?
when one is presenting Krishna consciousness. So to the degree those words are powerful, they are coming from the mouth of a pure devotee. Krishna consciousness, when our practice is good, in other words, when our sadhana is strong, then our delivery will also be more potent. So if we simply repeat, if we just verbatim repeat what Prabhupada said, some people can take it to be quite offensive, in an offensive way. For example, Prabhupada says rascals. So if we repeat, you know, you rascals, then it's not going to work. And because we don't have that level of purity, what Prabhupada had to say like that. And Prabhupada also had the edge, for example, when he was calling people rascals. He said, you can't say like that, I can say. Number one, my age is, I'm senior. He told his disciples, I'm much more senior than you. And then, of course, Prabhupada has the purity as well. Prabhupada can say that. So the expertise of a preacher is to, as one becomes more experienced, one will present in their own words, in their own realization. So yes, in the beginning phases of when one takes up to maybe public speaking or presentations, because one is nervous, lack of experience, then one is repeating. I would myself, when I started giving lectures, a lot of time I was repeating other devotees' lectures or Prabhupada's statements. But as one gains experience in speaking, one gets more confidence, and one's practice of Krishna consciousness, by practicing Krishna consciousness, one gets realizations, right? This is, as we get realizations, we have to present those realizations in our own words with some examples. So,
one more thing, actually, Prabhupada said rascal, but Prabhupada is pure devotee. He cannot be pure like him. But he has love, affection, and meditation. We can put that one to the present that person. But the love and, you know, the affection. So we can tell anyone rascal or idiot. But we can't, because we don't have that much purity on that.
Okay. Any final questions? Comments? Correction? Any final thoughts?
What do you mean by killer of the soul?
Killer of the soul. So yeah, killer of the soul means one who is not taking up to Krishna consciousness. So if one is not executing the prime purpose of life, which is service to the Lord, then they're killing their soul. That's what it means. So they are engaged in activities which are not beneficial to the soul. And those activities have reactions. So when one is not engaged in Krishna consciousness activities, we are engaged in material activities. And as we know, material activities lead to karma. So that further entangles one in this world. And that's what it means by killer of the soul. Going further and further away from Krishna. Alright, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.